Good morning. Someday we're going to be in the big ballroom. Everyone will embrace environmental health. Anyway, thanks for being here. You're on the cutting edge, so thanks for being here. So what I'm going to talk about today is a grant that I had submitted just before I left Wisconsin for Georgetown called the West Lawn Partnership for a Healthier Environment. It is through the EPA. It is based on all those community principles that we hold dearly, which is community engagement, empowering communities, and it's called Community Action for a Renewed Environment. That's the title. CARE is the title of the funding mechanism. And they are in two levels, level one and level two. And last week or the week before, the group that I handed the baton over got level two funding and got an award from the White House. So I'm very proud of this group, and I'll show a picture of them at the very end. There are no relationships to disclose. And I always like to start out slow and just talking about what the environment means. And so when I speak to students, and I had the privilege of speaking to Dr. Matthew's students last week, it's not just about homes or schools or buildings. It's really about everything that surrounds us, the water we drink, the air we breathe. And yes, in fact, we do need a Clean Air Act, a Clean Water Act. Thank you very much. NIEHS describes environmental health as a field of science that studies how the environment influences human health and disease. And we have lots of facts. These are more global in nature, but the World Health Organization estimates that as much as 24% of global disease is caused by avoidable environmental exposures, that the environment significantly affects more than 80% of major diseases. More than 33% of disease in children under the age of 5 is caused by environmental exposures. And the website for that data and report is on the bottom. So this is just a laundry list, basically, of the stuff we already know about. And every day, we're learning more and more about how the environment impacts health. So we know that asthma has a range of environmental exposures that increases one's risk, including pesticides. And, you know, the practice of putting pesticides on lawns at schools is a bad one because it really triggers asthma attacks in kids. Neurodevelopmental disorders, we know classically about lead, but we're also learning PCBs, which is found in lots of fish like salmon. Mercury, which is also found in fish like swordfish and tuna, can really lead to long-term health, chronic disease that we experience as adults. Endocrine disorders, DDT and perchlorate have been linked strongly with various endocrine disorders. And then cancer, again, a whole range of exposures, including pesticides, radon, electromagnetic fields, solvents, and synthetic chemicals. The good news is that a lot of environmental exposures are preventable. And so we know that if we can help folks avoid lead exposure and do remediation in their homes, if there's lead paint in the home, we can help, particularly as public health nurses. Pesticides can be avoided through something called integrated pest management. When I lived back in Wisconsin, we had a little lawn, but we put corn gluten on the lawn, and it kept the weeds down, and we didn't have to use pesticides. Pesticides are brought in the home, on your shoes. Dogs will go out, do their business, come in, lick their paws. They're finding more and more dogs developing tumors and dying from exposures to pesticides. Toxic cleaning products, you can go to any store now and find a green product. The trick is understanding if it's actually green or if it's just because there's a green tree on the label. We can modify our diet. I've done a lot of work in fish consumption and mercury toxicity. There are safer fish to eat. and advising our clients about that, as well as pesticide exposure, primarily on fruits and vegetables that are sprayed. And then finally, water. We can test our water for solvents, but we can always do simple things as well, like the pure filters or the Brita filters that we can use that takes out quite a bit of the metals and the chemicals. So the CARE program is a lot about social justice. In fact, it was built on a history of social justice legislation. And I'm just going to throw a few definitions out there to sort of set the tone of how this CARE project was established and why. And I asked students, if you had a child, which environment would you want it to be in? And it's an easy choice, right? The EPA defines environmental justice as the fair treatment and meaningful involvement of all people in the development, implementation, and enforcement of environmental laws, regulations, and policies. And so what that means, fair treatment, is that no group bears a disproportionate share of the negative environmental consequences. And so we know this isn't true. There's things called brownfields. We know that there's communities that are carrying the burden for us to be able to, you know, have really white paper that's bleached and this fills the water with dioxin and PCBs, etc. So, and meaningful involvement means that people actually have an opportunity to participate in those decisions on the ground and being able to have their voice respectfully heard. I don't know, I checked this out this morning and it didn't do that. So environmental justice is equal to, or is defined as, everyone has a fair chance of living the healthiest life possible. This is, I wanted to make sure to get this entire model in, and this is from an article in Environmental Health Perspectives by G. and Payne Sturgis. What I want to get across with this model is what we know as public health nurses is that when we look at disparities, and this was specifically written for environmental health disparities, we might start with something like race and ethnicity, but as we peel away the layers, it's very clear that we've got community stressors, neighborhood resources that can help. Or hinder if there's gaps, structural factors, and this is housing regulations, etc., as well as the actual pollution sources and environmental concentrations of those sources. So this all leads to community stress and then ultimately individual stress. So how do we impact these social processes? And that's what CARE is all about. I had the opportunity to go to an environmental justice conference in New Orleans a year or two ago, and it's been 5 years, but this is still very much around the community. And I gave a talk a couple weeks ago to a Master Naturalist group on climate change and public health, and I said, you know, they are still rebuilding their lives. We've forgotten about them. There's been stuff in Haiti and earthquake here, and you know, and so the more recent news is what we're bombarded with, but they are still healing, and you will still very much find homes with the crosses that indicated whether there was anybody alive or dead in the house, and as you can see, this child is riding his bike. One of the things that we learned on the bus tour was that the water level was so toxic, filled with toxics, that it stripped jewelry of gold and silver, even as high as second floors in buildings in their bedrooms. And so it wasn't just the devastation that we can actually see, but the stuff that was hidden, the chemicals and the toxins. And so we know poverty and risk for environmental illness go hand in hand, along with things like poor diet, substandard housing, limited access to health care, and hazardous occupations. So how do we actually reduce these environmental health disparities through community action? And that's where this program comes in, Community Action for a Renewed Environment. And they typically have a table specifically for this. So if you think you've got a community that you can partner with to work on environmental health issues, by all means, grab that booklet. So CARE offers an innovative way for communities to work together and to take action to reduce toxic pollution in its local environment. And it helps give them voice, it helps give them meaningful involvement, and they sit at the table to make those decisions. The partnerships are typically not only with public health professionals, but business professionals, people from the government, in housing, schools, etc. The overall program goals of the EPA CARE program is to reduce exposures to toxic pollutants through collaborative action, helping communities understand all potential sources of exposure, working with communities to set priorities to reduce risk, and creating self-sustaining community-based partnerships. So one of the things that this group did while they were involved in the CARE program was to get a Healthy Homes grant to get rid of bed bugs and prevent bed bugs and without chemicals. And so once they got this funding, they were eligible for other funding, and they became much more creative about what those community needs were. So this is the actual community, the Westlawn neighborhood. It's the largest public housing community in Wisconsin. Back in the days when Wisconsin was super progressive, they turned down federal dollars, so they didn't build high rises. I grew up in Chicago, and I did a lot of public health in the Taylor Street Homes and Cabrini Green, which were just awful. They were just tall buildings full of disease. Strategies for success. So the Westlawn Partnership, over the first 18 months, they created an advisory group. They developed a list, a priority list, and I'm going to share the top three in a minute. They also developed a community health worker role, and that person will be funded through the second level of funding. I mentioned the Healthy Homes grants. They received some other grants from the local community as well. Integration of environmental health into the nursing curriculum, which is never easy. And also there's been a lot of advocacy that's been going on at the local level with the local politicians. This is a picture. So the Westlawn community has the benefit of having across the street a neighborhood center. And within that neighborhood center is an elementary school, is a GED program, daycare, nurse-managed health center. So they have a lot of resources right there. What you're seeing here are school children developing the logo for this program, the Westlawn Partnership, actively involved in its inception. They've also had lots of Earth Day events, et cetera, for the kids to get them more involved with environmental issues and awareness. What you can see on the side are these partnerships. This is the CARE logo that the kids developed, EPA, of course, Housing Authority of Milwaukee, and then the Silver Spring Neighborhood Center. This is a quote from one of the members of the advisory group that defined overall this project for this community. That environmental health is the promotion of wellness and reduction of health disparities through increased knowledge of and reduced exposure to toxics both inside and outside of the home. So an awareness of that, like that first slide I showed, that it's not just about what's in our house, but what's going on in our community. So the very first priority they selected, do I have 5 minutes or, okay, is smoking and secondhand smoke. And they wanted to increase the number of people that stop smoking and giving incentives and awards. Asthma is a real issue in this community. And so the students helped create an asthma wellness day. The partners again are on the side, and they kicked off a big campaign to get moms and dads to stop smoking, basically. The second priority was food. Fresh fruits and vegetables available in the community. There's a business called Growing Power. You might have heard of them. And they worked with Will, who is the founder of Growing Power, to establish a community garden right on the school lawn here. And here's Will teaching students about sustainable agriculture, not using pesticides, etc. And the third, now they had 10 profiles, I only had time for three. The pesticides was the third one, and what they actually ended up having the housing authority do was no more pesticides inside or outside of the home. Everything is integrated pest management. There is a community group, a nonprofit group in the Milwaukee area, two moms that were pregnant and decided they wanted everyone to get more informed about IPM, and so they've had a partnership with them as well. So we got the level two funding awarded. They have many partnerships now. All of these programs are sustainable financially as well as through community input. And here's Betty and Ann when they came in last week to get their award from the White House. And here are some of the kids in the Westlawn neighborhood. Thank you.